with Lish Bayer. Now, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder and a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You can have your cake and eat it. And the future is in your hands. My next guest is someone who has the future in his head. And Morris Moswalski is a business futurist, and I love this title, Transformation Provocateur. He's also a media broadcaster and presenter. He joins me to talk about, well, I guess what's happened. Morris, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you too.
Tell me, how do you become a futurist?
For me, it was a journey evolving out of business strategy, which I started in 31 years ago or so. It really is a view of what tomorrow will look like, being more important than the historical view of what it looked like. But there's also a very practical and academic way to come at it too, and you can do qualifications in foresight right through to doctorate level.
What are your tools as a futurist?
So tools, really, I think the most important one is an inquisitive nature. Is the number one. It really is trying to rock the status quo and to think forward then about the way that the world might change. And apart from that, it's a wonderful network of people that you can speak to, a good insight into what technology is going to ride, and I think a fundamental understanding of human nature.
And as a business futurist, you're looking at what is going to happen both in the markets and commercially, is that what you're involved in?
For me, it's a bit broader than that. I work in a more human landscape, and for me and my clients, it's really trying to understand the way that the world will evolve between now and my furthest horizon is 2060. But for most clients, really in the next 2-3 years, to see that the way that we might change our needs, our habits, the things we buy, what might become important to us. Certainly the technology triggers for that, but it's very much around the societal human aspects of the way that we're likely to evolve and what's next and after next.
Okay, which brings me to my next question, Morris. What's next? What are we looking forward to in 2016?
Lots of things. I mean, we've arrived in the future already. We're talking about a new year. I mean, that's extraordinary.
Isn't this moment the future? Isn't that next moment the future? Yeah, that's
it,
right. We're
absolutely
in the
all is. But for some reason, we love the symbols of changing dates and changing times. And we've significantly done that overnight. So this year, for me, is going to be a significant year. And we started that last year. Technology, which is the driver for many things in our lives, when we look at how our lives change, the things that are important to us, it often comes through this technology portal. And we are changing some of the technologies that we've used in the past into new toys. We'll talk about that in a couple of moments. But also significantly changing the way we think about what we want out of technology. And we are moving away from the search-based, database type use that we've had for the last 25 years, which is I have to think of something, there's a keyboard or something around that I can interact with the internet with, and it will feed me a whole lot of information from which I'll make sense. And we thought that was wonderful for the last 25 years. But as humans, what we really want is the experience. We just want the answer. And technology, for the last half of last year, and certainly from this year forwards, is going to start to give us very, very firm answers based on who we are and what we want.
In what way? How will it do that?
So for me, I talk about this as being an anticipatory phase, and we saw that already through apps like Google and Now, which is a free app to Android, and there's also the equivalent on Apple and others. What that does is, with your permission, it begins to search through ongoing in the background without you asking, your diary, your searches, all the sorts of things that you might do through the internet. And what it's looking for is future evidence of what you might want to do, so your appointments in the future, your flights, things that are important to you. And as and when it finds out information about that, it gives it to you on your front screen. So I travel a great deal to deliver keynotes, and for me, what it does without me asking is 24 hours in advance of my flight, it begins to track them for me, tell me if they're on time, gives me information about how I'm going to travel to whichever airport in the world it is and how long that might take me. Currency changes, it gives me information about home and where I am, and feeds me all kinds of information ongoing. Now, importantly, as a human, I can decide to ignore all of that, and that's a really important thing for me. But what it does is, instead of me asking all those bits and pieces, because I'm terribly lazy, I could do that, but I choose not to, it does it for me. And we're seeing clear evidence that a lot of our technology is headed that way. In a year or two, that will seem ordinary, and we'll wonder how we ever had it otherwise.
about augmented reality and virtual reality?
This is this year's Christmas stocking stuffer. So at the moment we don't need them, have no idea why we would ever want them in our lives, and by the end of this year I think that they will be the must-have like drones of last year. What we have with the virtual reality are headsets that we put on, sometimes like a crash helmet type thing, and inside of that we blank out the physical world and we go into a virtual world. And in that virtual world we can have all kinds of extraordinary experiences. So we could, standing still on Earth, go deep sea diving inside one of these virtual headsets. We could go flying with them. I took an extraordinary journey last year through the human brain in one of these and have also landed on Mars.
Get out.
Yeah, so we will have all of these kinds of experiences, and that is very much where we're headed. Now, I know it sounds like science fiction, and why would we want it? But our pilots for the last 30 years have been trained in virtual cockpits. We would not let them into a physical space until they have proven their mettle in that space. We have surgeons for the last couple of years, especially with brain surgery and very complicated surgeries, who are able to do pre-operative testing through these virtual spaces. They have a virtual patient, they understand what has to be done, and they'll undertake that virtual operation many times before they physically touch a patient.
Morris Maslowski, a business futurist, is my guest this morning on Summer Breakfast. Morris, what about personal assistants in the form of robots? We heard this year that artificial intelligence is both a promise and also a risk. What's it looking like for you?
It absolutely is, and this is a double-edged sword for any technology. Artificial intelligence can be used for niceness and evilness, in the same way as the atom when we split it was. For me, what we need to do is to have this conversation ongoing, and a whole lot of people involved in this space last year got together and signed a very, very boisterous petition to ask that artificial intelligence not be used for war or for negativity. But what it allows us to do on the positive side is to outsource some of our thinking for very, very complex ideas and thoughts. And I believe artificial intelligence has a place in our world moving forward. Certainly we're seeing lots of clear evidence of it being used already. It's being used in hospitals. IBM Watson is single-handedly changing the whole face of artificial intelligence. What it does, amongst many other things in a hospital environment, is to go through the patient's records, which are all digital at this stage, and then to do a diagnosis and a prognosis. And it does that in under a minute with supposedly 70 to 80% accuracy. Now, that's not meant to be given to the patient. That's not the intent at all. It's just another tool for the wonderful doctors that we have.
Now, thinking of artificial intelligence, my mind goes to robots and robot vacuum cleaners. but robots now are hitting the shelves as well, and we can buy a robot.
We absolutely can, and this is the first year that we'll be able to do that en masse. Again, perhaps the Christmas stocking stuffer. We're getting in early for those this year. What we have are robots like Jibo, and if after this interview, of course, later on the day, type into a search engine, J-I-B-O, Jibo, and have a look at She, Him, It. It's quite an extraordinary little piece of kit.
What does it do?
What it is it's got a round screen, like a round face. It's got that virtual face on it. And Jibo can read all your emails to your SMS. She, it begins to pre-think for you, so you can have a kind of Siri-type conversation with it. And it will, again, in a Google Now-type approach, understand who you are, what you do, and how you like things, and can begin to do those sorts of things in advance for you. I'm not so much concerned about Jibo as it is today, although that's a great toy, and we think somewhere only around the $1,500 mark US. It's really about Jibo being the great-great-grandfather of what will come down the track. And we're seeing...
What do you think that is?
I think it's a tool, not necessarily the android that we've all dreamed of in science fiction. An android is a human-esque type robot. But I think it is the beginning of our interaction in a very natural way with technology. Something that we do talk to that does somewhat understand who we are, that can take some shortcuts for us by knowing who we are and give us an insight into this digital world and collect it all for us. Because there's so much stuff out there in this digital world, it's almost impossible for any human to keep track and make sense of it.
It is. Too much stuff. What about 3D printing? Let's print a bit more stuff.
Well, yes, talking about stuff. Now, 3D printers have been around forever, 30 years, to be precise. Now, 2 years ago, they came out of patent, which made everybody want to have a crack at printing a 3D printer. And the last 2 years we've seen a burn. This year,
wait, did you just say printing a 3D printer?
Yeah, you could do that too, absolutely. I mean, it's that thing of a robot making a robot. Now, you don't necessarily have to print a 3D printer, but they are looking at doing that as well. So what we have is, after 2 years of lots of these things available moving into the commercial space, Australia Post announced last year they were going to trial 3D printers in some of their retail outlets, allowing us to go in with a prototype, with a thought of what we might want printed, and for them to print it. We'll see it in a number of other retail outlets. It's also incredible, again, into medicine. It's being used within education to teach students to be able to build back into those STEM languages. So it's finding its purpose and its niche, and I think we'll see this year and next year it'll do more of that.
Now, Morris, you've got lots of other great things on this list, and just in the last couple of minutes, the retail location service, so electronics brokers in store, a less cash society, stepping away from cash and plastic as we continue to push for mobile phone payments, and I think we've seen that. The Internet of Things, I like that too, that smart technology.
Yeah, again, science fiction. All of these things are things we've talked about forever, we've dreamed about seeing on television. But what we have now is good evidence that these things actually exist in the physical world. The Internet of Things is that promise that your fridge will talk to your cupboard, will talk to the supermarket and give you all that kind of information. Now, forgetting that, but looking at the reality that many people that are building homes now are trying to make them as automated as possible. We're moving into a space where, because we have something, it will be able to talk to something else. So if we drive up to our garage door, for instance, it'll be able to open the garage door without us doing anything, turn on the lighting sequence, turn on the air conditioning, perhaps put the kettle on. All of these things are becoming possible, ordinary, and affordable. And again, science fiction-y, but it's all about people wanting, as much as we may say we don't, many people wanting automation in their life, wanting to get rid of the drudgery and the mundane. And Internet of Things will allow us to do that.
I wonder what we'll do with all that extra time.
We will squander it as we always have. There is no 3-day weekend, 5-day weekend, as I've heard it for the last 40 years. We just seem to fill it up with other stuff to do.
We do. And selfies be damned. I said, you say the selfie, well, it seems to be on the decline.
Yes.
There's a rise of something else.
Yes, now that's on a piece of research that came out about a month ago, which charted all of the photos that are put up, or many of the photos that are put up into internet. And what they found that was, increasingly in small numbers, we're finding the selfies are diminishing. It's kind of like that where did you have coffee conversation of 5-6 years ago in social media. Nobody really cares anymore. And the same with selfies. Don't show me you, show me you in an environment. Show me something interesting to look at. I know who you look like. And there's evidence of that happening. So we still might be in the photo, but it's not about just us. Really, just show me the environment behind you. I want to see more about the world that you're living in, not just you.
Okay, it's not all about us anymore.
Well, it is in many ways, but not just about us.
Morris, so good to talk to you. So much more to talk to you about. We'll catch up during the year and see how things are panning out.
Look forward to it. And a most extraordinary 2016 to all our listeners.
You too, Morris. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Morris Mizulowski, he's a business futurist and transformation provocateur. What a great word that is, and what a great discussion there. What do you look forward to in that future? Any of those things you're really keen on, or would you rather just switch things on yourself?